All right. Hello, Tyler Braden here. Let's jump right into it. Today I want to talk about a really interesting development from three companies who are pretty instrumental leading companies in this idea of large language models. And probably most familiar is OpenAI. OpenAI is behind GPT-3 and DALL-E. And for you who aren't aware of those platforms, basically able to, they've scraped as much data as they can from the web, and then they are generating models that then can create. So we've seen lots of examples with DALL-E where you are giving a prompt with text and then it's generating an image, and these are becoming more and more beautiful. Artists are upset. It's challenging our questions of what is art, what is creativity, what is art, what is intellectual property. And so these companies are having an impact on the world today, and in a very significant way. And this is still early, but this is going to continue to have a significant impact. So Cohere, great company here in Toronto. I think they're about almost moving towards 100 employees, raised about $125 million, maybe even more than that, with some really talented people in that. OpenAI and then AI21 Labs sort of collaborated together. And what they did is built out these ideas for best practices around like large language model deployment. And Ellie here talks about three principles: prohibit misuse, mitigate unintentional harm, and then thoughtfully collaborate with stakeholders. And I think this is an important collaboration that needs to happen when the reach of these systems can be so significant. And we're already seeing the applications of this. Famously, Elon Musk left OpenAI with concerns about the impact of this on the world. And there are then examples. One of them, a pretty stark one, about this, for example, GTP 4chan, where, very interesting video, trained on 3 years of 4chan's politically correct, and then they used it to then populate and post on different forums. And it posted some pretty vile, horrible things, and they did it in a way that some people thought that it was a machine, but a lot of people didn't. The posts were realistic enough that it sort of passed that test of us thinking of it was a human, and because of the data that it had trained on, it fit right in with the kind of content that it was creating. And so that's just one example of where we're seeing these large language models have an impact, and this was obviously a sample sort of test in application, but far-reaching consequences of it are not lost on, myself, I'm talking about it right now, but these companies who are building these and starting to understand the scope and the scale of these systems. Additionally, one of the other sort of leaders in this has been another company, and this has sort of hit. There's a bunch of them all that came around at once, and one of them is Copy AI. And basically what it was, helps you write creative content, blog content, et cetera, et cetera. And so now you're interacting with ads that might have been created by a machine, and they are, they're then being used to persuade, create prompts, all these machines are now helping real people generate the copy that is then persuading us to take actions online. And so there are definitely sort of ethical challenges to think about here. And I was trying to find this image of it, but what we've also seen is basically with these models, you can then, for example, build a website, deploy a ton of content, rank really quickly, and as a reader, you're getting on that content. It's pretty high quality content. It might be better than most of us can write content because of its understanding of the web and internet. And then you can deploy that, start ranking on search engines very quickly, and maybe do affiliate links. You can sell products. You can do whatever you can to sort of promote this funnel that then turns into a monetization option. The graph that I was trying to find an image of was a company that had used a tool like Copy AI to generate their content, and then they Google recognized this. So this is the battle that's happening. Google recognized that this was search engine optimized or sort of SEO produced content by these large language models, penalized the site. And so it went up to like 3 million people in traffic to zero the next month. So there's also this battle that is now emerging between these systems, like, for example, Google and search engines, where they're looking for high quality, human readable, human created content. And then these systems that are then deploying are having they're screwing around with this system. They're screwing around with what the definition of that is. What is high quality content? What is human generated content? So there's lots of challenges that are emerging. There's other sort of companies that are using these to generate, game design, storytelling, and scripts. Like, there's so many different applications of these large language model, which is all you're doing is maybe giving a text prompt, and then it's generating an entire set of content that is passing plagiarism checks. It is, generally considered completely original, but then deployed at scale, it was sort of detectable that that there's something going on here, and that this content is written by machines, and then that's how these sites are being penalized. And I would say that if you are connected to your personal accounts, you're doing a risk when you're playing around with these systems, especially in this sort of wild, wild west of it. And then this could have impact on all your website properties or anything that you're doing in terms of business and marketing. So that's my little bit of rant on that. I'll hop back into sort of what I was getting to here, is that these companies then collaborated, and we don't know exactly how deep this goes here. There's a joint statement. Obviously, this is an important step. I won't open this up. Should I open it up? I did open it up. I lied. And it's early into this process, right? So it's signed, and really what they're doing, this reminds me, there's a parallel here when I was sort of, in contributing, being part of the psychedelic movement, and it's first started to see commercialization. And so in this Twitter space, which was what I was sort of getting to, held sort of hosted by Percy, a bunch of people on the team joined, and I've got their links, so I'll share this as resources so you can follow them on Twitter and check them out. You can see that a lot of the questions here are around ethics and bias in the data, and how can you avoid the negative applications of this technology. So these are tweets before, and these are also, I think, really the questions around this are why these companies building these models are banding together to try to figure this out. And I have no doubt that that there are, hey, I'll give OpenAI a follow. I have no doubt that this is going to be continue to be a challenge. And when I think back to the parallel of psychedelics, psychedelics in some way are almost like a one to, it's not actually, but like a one-to-one where, you are sort of accepting to take psychedelics, and part of that is on your responsibility, and that's a personal experience that you're having, and relatively there's a lot of steps that take you to have that experience, whereas with these large language models, you could be interacting with this technology and really have no idea. And during this conversation, that was one of sort of the concepts that emerged, which is, how do we deal with the possible negative consequences of this? And when we look at it, because these models are being trained on these large data sets across the web, they're filled with hate speech, they're filled with sexual content, sexual violence, not even that, just Western, Western perspective on things, because of the proliferation of internet in North America and, developed countries. There are a lot of perspectives that are then missing from the internet. The people who are labeling these systems to help build these initial data sets, they could have bias in it. So when you have this much noise, when you have this much data that you're ingesting and then putting into these models and then starting to generate things, there's a lot of risk along the way. There's a lot of unknown. And I think we're very happy with the power of AI, but there's still a lot of things that we're just unaware of and just don't understand with some of the output. And I've played with GPT-3, I've played with Cohere, I've played with DALL-E, and you can't interact with those systems on even a little bit of a scale and not have some sort of output that is pretty pretty wonky. So I do think, again, this is a necessary step for them to take. A bunch of people, so Percy here, a bunch of people who are founders, leaders, actual researchers, developers, for example, co-founders of Cohere were part of this conversation on Twitter. It was streamed, and then they've now got the recording, so I'll share this link. But I think just a really interesting conversation on how, as this technology continues to be adopted, that it's used in the best way. And we will, you know, there were a couple of quick notes that I see here, or at least questions that were asked during this conversation. And one of the big ones was, if you're a researcher and you're trying to understand how these systems work, how these algorithms work, how can you get access to that? And so one of the sort of drives that these companies are having is trying to give people access to it so they can better understand the systems, and then that will then help the companies who are developing these systems then do it better. How does and there's costs and problems like that, and then of course, because these are private companies, well-funded companies, they have the goals of profitability, they have the goals of growth, of revenue. So how does that then impact the use of it and the deployment of it? At some point they need to scale and start selling this to companies so that they can generate the revenue they needed to build investor returns, to become sustainable. What compromises are made in that process? So I think that's a big question that is being asked here. And you know, there's this idea of then, one of the messages or comments was that overall, most of the people interacting with the systems are good. If there's something that error pops up, blah, 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 they will report it. They'll ask if they can use it in this way, et cetera, et cetera. But that doesn't necessarily mean that everyone's a good actor. We know that from the world that we're living in today. And so then there's other mechanisms that they're trying to be built into limit this abusive or negative application of these technologies, rate limits, so too many calls per minute, too much, you know, interaction with the system, sort of tamper that down so that there can't be too much of a consequence of that. But these are still early stages of these that we haven't seen play at scale, and a lot of these systems are still sort of in this beta environment where not everyone can get access to it. You have to be approved for it, and then you can use it for sort of personal use, but then for us, you know, to go beyond that into commercial use, there's another whole approval mechanism, and those things are really good as we start to send sort of deploy these technologies. So I think, you know, overall, these are really worthwhile, interesting companies. I'm inspired by it. I think that there's a new level of sort of technology that is emerging of our understanding of artificial intelligence, this sort of vision that artificial intelligence and machine learning could be of this sort of, you know, 40 years ago, this sci-fi future of what is possible. And I think that's been really demonstrated by some of these DALL-E images generated. Google's now contributing to this, Hugging Face, some great companies and organizations operating in this space. And I think there's just tremendous potential here. But with tremendous potential comes tremendous risk, becomes tremendous responsibility. And all of this is then sort of culminating into Cohere, OpenAI, and AI 21 Labs joining together to at least start the process of figuring how do we best deploy these large language models. So I appreciate them doing this. I know that this is not easy. Anytime you're sort of breaking ground in technology, and especially with this level of data, this level of information, and then creating these capabilities, there will be challenges along the way. There will be things that are not great. And, you know, we think of, for example, I think of Tesla and their deployment of, self-driving vehicles. No matter what, there will be errors along the way, and I think someone said it sort of darkly, but there will be deaths along the way as we move towards this. And I think everyone in the world, what we're trying to do is mitigate risk. I think these companies are trying to mitigate this risk too. And again, very interesting conversation to at least start this process. I know that I'm sure they've been having ones privately. This was a public one. I hope that they do more. There's lots of ways to get involved. There's some emails that they shared here. There's a Cohere Discord channel. And I recommend following some of the people who are speakers of this. They're leaders in this space. They're the ones shaping it. So it's good to follow, good to interact. If you have thoughts, they are open to messaging. They're trying to figure this out. Overall, appreciate the work that they're doing and very excited about the potential of large language models, and glad I was part of this conversation, and glad to follow these companies on what they're doing. So this has been Tyler Bryden. Thank you very much for checking this out. If you liked it, if you're watching on YouTube, like, comment, subscribe, all that kind of stuff, LinkedIn, send me a note. Hope everything's going well, and hope you have a great rest of the day. This has been Tyler Bryden. Thank you.